Christmas.
Brent Clark's filling in today, the Evan Bray Show. Evan under the weather. Hope he's going to be feeling better and back in the chair here very soon. But I enjoy being here, and I have the opportunity to interact with so many wonderful people, listeners of the Evan Bray Show, and the amazing guests that we get on this program as well for you each and every weekday. Right now, we're talking housing, real estate in Saskatchewan, the year that was, and what may be coming in 2026. We're joined by Chris Garrett. Chris is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Realtors Association. Merry Christmas, Chris.
Merry Christmas to you, Brent.
So, looking back over 2025, as far as real estate is concerned in our great province, how would you assess it as a strong year, a positive year?
Well, the entire year we had above average sales every single month. In fact, we closed November as it being the 29th consecutive month of above average sales. And so I know we just have a few days left before we wrap up 2025, but it does look like we will be, 2025 will be the second busiest year on record, 2021 being the busiest.
And really not surprising when you say that, because there's so many people out there that want a family home, and the selection of homes, we just don't have a lot of listings, do we?
Yeah, and you know, I think, Brent, what has happened in 2025 is this low inventory has started to normalize. People, you know, it's been a few years now that this is the struggle if you're looking to move up or down that housing continuum or just, you know, become a homeowner for the first time. This is really the challenge in Saskatchewan right now. There's not a lot available. In November, we did see some modest relief there, but in inventory, but the sales just took them all up. So we are still sitting at around 2 months of supply.
What about construction? Are we seeing a good level of new home construction?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the good news about this, right? Because to me, construction also means jobs, right? So permit levels are up compared to last year, compared to, you know, the past few years, and also up when compared to other provinces. So that's absolutely good news. However, we are seeing that builders, when it comes to, you know, apartment builds, especially the large buildings, that they are seeing that it's harder to complete those projects in the same amount of time that they would maybe 5 years ago. So take a look at some significantly large projects in downtown Saskatoon for apartment complexes. You know, they're 3 years behind. So even though those permits have been pulled, it takes longer to complete.
Are they still having difficulty even finding tradespeople?
Yeah, that's the number one piece. I mean, certainly with this trade and tariff reality across our country, that has an impact on supply, supplies to build a home. But the other piece is especially labor. And so the good news here is we can attract labor here because it's so affordable when you consider other provinces. But those are absolutely the reality, especially when you take into consideration not just the residential side, but there's commercial buildings as well, right? So we're all sort of competing for that same labor, and it's important to be mindful of that when we have large projects coming to the province.
I recall talking to you earlier in the year, and I think we were saying that if you can swing a hammer, you can probably get a job on a home construction site these days.
Yeah, it is. If you are willing to work in construction, there is definitely some great jobs here in Saskatchewan throughout the country. But I'd like to think in Saskatchewan, you can get a job here and you can also own a home, right? We're one of the most affordable ones in the province, in the country. And so if you can work here, also be a homeowner, I don't know, that's just one way for us to bring people here, make them have roots, stick around, and that's what we like to see.
I know you always like to say that this is the best place bargain-wise for home prices, and somebody hearing that's going to say, oh, they're dirt cheap. Well, they're not dirt cheap, but compared to under other provinces and cities, this is still probably the place to get the best bang for your buck.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, everybody in this country has felt the affordability pinch. Prices are going up. We've seen it throughout the province here in Saskatchewan. You know, of the 18 regions that we cover for residential market stats, every single region has seen a year-over-year price increase. And that's not abnormal, and you would like to see modest increases. And Saskatchewan has typically just either been flat or increasing modestly, but we're seeing increases that are more than what we're used to in Saskatchewan, and that's indicative that absolutely there's an affordability crunch. But when compared to others, we're not as steep as what maybe Ontario and British Columbia are feeling.
Chris Garrett, Saskatchewan Realtors Association CEO. In the world of real estate, selling real estate, and of course you represent realtors all across Saskatchewan, I know earlier this year we were starting to see some interesting little things happen as far as how people could make an offer. There was presentation of offers, I know, for a while, seemed to be a hot thing. Has that premise, that thing, tapered off in any way?
Yeah, that's a strategy that tends to come up when inventory is low. And it's, I can understand how people find it a very frustrating strategy. It's also one to ensure that people have the time to view a property without having to make knee-jerk reactions that are maybe not great when it comes to financial decisions. So we're definitely seeing less of that right now. So that's good news. That means maybe it's not as heated of a market as we felt during the summer months. But it's definitely still a struggle out there. People who are looking to buy a home, especially if it's your first home, it's taking a lot of time and patience out there. But keep at it. Make sure you have the right professionals in your court who have done this with other clients before, and you will get there.
I don't think there's anything much sadder than seeing a young couple all excited about the fact they got approved at their bank, they've managed to cobble together a good down payment, and they've got a target amount on their dream house, and they go, and then somebody offers $50,000 more, and it just crushes them. Are we seeing still, you know, some bidding wars going on?
We're definitely seeing that. And when we say there's an affordability crunch and an inventory crunch, what we mean is really those houses at the beginning of that housing spectrum, really those that are under 400,000, even, you know, 500,000 and less. That's really where the competition is happening. And you know, this should be a brilliant memory in your journey as, you know, a couple or a family or a young professional when you're shopping for a home. Those are great moments that should be very positive. And so in Saskatchewan, that has changed where we require a bit more patience. So even though we're affordable, it does take time to shop for a home. And just keep your eye on the long game is what I can tell people who are looking. It will happen. And Saskatchewan still has a lot to offer.
I know people get creative too. We've heard the stories of couples sending a love letter to a homeowner, and sometimes the love letter works, where a homeowner will say, I like these people. They seem like real nice people. They didn't make the biggest offer, the highest offer, but I like them. I want them to have my house. So I can see where people get creative when they're trying to find that home.
Well, isn't that not how innovation starts, is when we feel the pressure and we have to operate differently to see some results? And I see buyers doing that. And, you know, as long as we can keep building in Saskatchewan so that we can get more inventory, especially on the affordable end of that continuum, I think we'll be in good shape for 2026. I mean, Brent, my wish for 2026 is I know that our home ownership rates are likely falling because of affordability pressures. Mm-hmm. And I hope that in 2026, we can start reversing that trend because, you know, home ownership is really the cornerstone of the middle class. It's the cornerstone of building your family's wealth, of success in your province for your people. And so I hope to see an increase in 2026.
Are there still deals for those people searching for that first time home in smaller communities in the province? Is it as tight and high priced as in the major centers?
Yeah, absolutely. Price increases have actually been a little bit more steep in outside of our two large urban centers. Of course, the total residential benchmark price is lower, but the increases are more. I think those communities really have a lot going for them. For the individuals that are looking to work from home, that are looking for really affordable homes with beautiful communities, gone are the days in Saskatchewan where there's empty and vacant houses, you know, in small town Saskatchewan. Those are gone. Our smaller communities have a lot to offer and definitely some options out there.
You mentioned affordability. The NDP have been talking about a need for rent controls in Saskatchewan. Your thoughts on that?
Well, We are very bullish in terms of what we need most is inventory and policies that will ensure that we can get to building more houses, because the market is a supply and demand imbalance. We know for a fact, and research shows it, not just, you know, CMHC, but other research think tanks out there have demonstrated that rent control actually hinders inventory. So this is not the time to consider this type of policy. We need to build more, make more homes available, and do that faster. And when I think, you know, if I take a look at policies, we can take a look at a policy that will kind of dampen our potential, or we can take a look at a policy that will ensure that we can build more and get people working on top of that. I just think that's the type of policy we need to look at.
Chris Garrett, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time, and cheers to a good new year ahead of us in the world of real estate.
And to you too and your team.
All right, take care. Merry Christmas. This is the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Got the kids all packed up, figured out what you're doing with the dogs, the cats, hitting the road, going to grandma's, traveling west, out to the Rockies maybe to go skiing, going somewhere warm. I know people that do that. They don't have a big family, and so they just take off somewhere warm for Christmas. Just gets a little pricey traveling this time of the year. Airlines, they're all very busy, of course, and it might be tough finding a ticket. But for your travels, nice to see gasoline prices in a reasonable range. I know I gassed up yesterday at $1.13 a liter. You really got to pay attention. I've noticed that in a lot of the towns and cities across Saskatchewan that I've been in recently. You know, one place might be $1.09, another place might be $1.26. But it is good to see gas prices staying low as you gas up for the Christmas holiday travels. Have you bought your Lotto Max ticket yet? Holy smokes. Jackpot hasn't gone for a while, so it's maxed out at $80 million for tomorrow night's draw. And also then if you buy a ticket, you could win one of 43 Max Millions, one of 43 prizes of $1 million. That'd be something. So tell me this. You bought a Lotto Max ticket, and you were going to put it in the Christmas card you were going to give to one of your favorite people. But then you hear me on the radio and you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't give this ticket away. There's always a good practical joke you can play too, you know? Well, actually, when it comes to lottery tickets, there's a couple practical jokes. I remember years ago, Canadian Tire, and maybe they still do, Canadian Tire would sell fake scratch tickets. So you could buy this little packet and they looked like the little $2 scratch tickets. So I remember I bought some of these, took them home, gave one to my wife and one to my daughter, and then I left the room. And of course, they're scratching away, and all of a sudden I hear these squeals of delight that they come running and say, "Who would have thought we both won $10,000? Just incredible." I said, "Yeah, well, take a look at the ticket. It's not a real ticket." So I didn't score any points that time, but I had a good laugh. But there is another trick you can do with a lottery ticket. It's nasty, you know, but it's a good laugh. So when, say, Lotto Max, when the draw is made tomorrow, what you do after the draw is made is go in and buy a Lotto Max ticket with those winning numbers on it. And then you put it in the Christmas card and you give it to the person. And they open it up and they say, "Oh my gosh, look at these numbers." And then they look on their phone and say, now don't let them scan it because the scan will, you know, ruin the joke. But if they look at the winning numbers and they look at the numbers on their ticket, they, "Oh my God, I won. I look." No. Good to have some fun at Christmas time with lottery tickets. It's 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. You see this story out of Alberta? Alberta's going to do a test run. They're going to boost speed limits on divided highways. They're going to do it as a bit of a trial initially, but knowing Alberta, this is probably something that's going to happen. I kind of chuckled when I read the story because they're going to try this on some divided highways in Alberta where they will have the posted speed limit go from 110 to 120. So then my brain goes, well, if they're going to make it legal to be doing 120, that means everybody on that number two highway between Calgary and Edmonton, they'll be doing at least 130. I just hate driving that highway, you know. It's just me. I find myself, I'll fly into Calgary, I'll rent a car, and I've got family out by Sylvan Lake, and I dread that drive every single time. And it's worse in the winter when you get snowy, wintry conditions and icy roads. But man, people travel fast. It's just me, I know. Okay, call me the old guy that doesn't like going too fast, especially at night. I just can't do nighttime driving. So it'll be interesting to see how this test run in Alberta goes, where they're going to bump speed limits from 110 to 120. Weather-wise, for today, Saskatoon, Regina areas, it's a gray day. A little more light snow, nothing, you know, really significant. Just get the broom out when you get home. 2 to 4 centimeters of more snowfall coming down. They are saying some parts of the province might see some ice pellets as well, which might make things a little bit slippy. So do keep an eye on that. Earlier this morning, we were talking about what happened up at Emma Lake on the weekend. Gosh, I can't imagine what this person went through. Hopefully, and we haven't seen any report on the condition of this person. We're hoping for the best that they're okay. But what happened was Saturday morning, just before noon, a person that was cross-country skiing on the ice at Emma Lake fell through the ice. And it's interesting just seeing the post from the Lakeland Fire Department, who responded and were able to get the person out of the water, and they had an ambulance then come and take them. And like I say, hopefully they were okay, but I just can't imagine. That's just a nightmare, isn't it? The thought of being on ice and falling through in the wintertime and dealing with that cold water and the potential of hypothermia. But thank goodness, from what we know so far, at least, everything worked out okay for this person. But it's just a good reminder as well, as you're going out ice fishing over the coming days, you maybe got family together and you're heading out to your favorite fishing hole. Just remember, as our guest from the Saskatchewan Water Agency told us, Water Security Agency said, same body of water, you can still have a variety of ice depths for whatever reason. And they advise you that for a person to be on the ice, that ice needs to be at least 4 inches, 10 centimeters thick. If you're planning on snowmobiling across the lake, then make sure that ice is 8 inches, 20 centimeters. If you're planning on taking a vehicle like a small car, it's got to be at least a foot thick. And then something heavier like a truck, you're hauling out your ice shack, your ice fishing shack, whatever. You shouldn't be putting that truck out there unless it's a good foot in depth. And I saw people on the Lakeland Fire Department Facebook post where they talked about this person being pulled out of the lake. They were about 150 meters off the shore. I saw people posting saying that's crazy that they'd been ice fishing at Emma Lake, and where they had cut through, it was 14 or 15 inches thick, but clearly nowhere near that thickness where this person went through, and hopefully they're doing okay. This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux with you for another hour today on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.